Hi, and welcome to Webcams TV. I'm your host, as always, Corey Fowler. Joining me today, someone who I haven't seen in a long, long time.
It's been a while.
I'm sorry, sir. I should get you on the show more often.
Yeah, I agree.
Mr. Mads Christensen, how are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for hosting me here. It's great to be back.
Brilliant. Yep. I'd have to say this is probably going to be a really exciting show for a lot of people out there. We're actually going to be talking about modern web development techniques and all this stuff and how it fits into the world of Visual Studio.
Yep.
And we just had an event not too long ago called Visual Studio Connect, where we kind of launched it to the world and said, hey, check out the next version, and we released the new preview of Visual Studio 2015. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're going to be showing us today. But you're also really well known for Web Essentials. And I noticed that there's quite a few features in, you know, Visual Studio 2015, and this is kind of the point of Web Essentials, is be an incubator to figure out what should go into the product.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a quick update on Web Essentials before you jump into
Yes, sure. Yeah, I can do that. So, so Web Essentials 2015 was released at, what is the date? November 15 or whatever it was that we had the event. And we released Visual Studio 2015 preview. At the same time, Web Essentials 2015 also went out. And it's smaller. It's a lot smaller than before. So Web Essentials for 2013 is 17 megabytes. This new one is 2.5 megabytes. So it's a lot smaller. We've rolled in a lot of features, and we're going to continue rolling in features. So what you see in preview, if you tried preview, you already saw some of the features move in for the JSON editor, for instance, and JavaScript and so on. But you'll see more features roll in before we release the final version of 2015. And that's going to shrink Web Essentials even more, because as soon as we get them, get the features in the actual product, I'm going to remove it from Web Essentials. So, so that's sort of the stuff that we're doing right now. We're starting to port a lot of these things over. One of the big differences in Web Essentials for Visual Studio 2015 is that it no longer has the LESS and SAS and CoffeeScript compilers. All the tools that Web Essentials ran through Node. So in case you didn't know, Web Essentials actually ships Node.exe. And a lot of the compilers and some features use Node to do like LESS and SAS compilation and so on. All those things have gone away. So they're no longer there. So we're going to look at how Visual Studio can then do that in a different way and in a much better way. And that's new in Visual Studio 2015. So it sort of takes over where and Web Essentials sort of stopped, discontinues handling those compilation cases.
Well, and that's because we have great support for it in these circumstances now, which is what you're going to be showing us today.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So I know there's been a lot of work that's gone into this, and there's a lot of crazy, awesome tools in the ecosystem. Do you want to quickly just, reiterate really why we're taking such an interest in all of the open tools that are out there today, and how, like, why we're integrating them into Visual Studio?
Sure. So there's a lot of reasons. When we're talking about sort of modern web tooling, what they're based on is usually Node, NPM, Bower, Git, and that's sort of the foundation for a lot of these things. And so when you're talking about, like, compiling less, for instance, for that we'd like to use Grunt or Gulp or any of those task runners. But when we talk about tooling, we don't mean just because that it runs on Node, like Node is the foundation that runs the tooling itself. That doesn't mean that we want to put Node code inside of our applications. That's not what it means. It means that the tool chain we're using now includes Node-specific things, so that we can really get the entire ecosystem that's currently using Node-based tools and bring all that into Visual Studio. And that's a lot more features and very complex features and awesome things that just, but there's no way we can, as a Visual Studio team, build all that into Visual Studio. And, you know, why would we? Because we have this big ecosystem, the internet, you know, already decided that these tools were great. And there's a lot of plugins and all these sort of things that just works and just lights up in Visual Studio now. So that's really great. We're basically taking huge ecosystem and bring them, existing ecosystems, and bringing them into Visual Studio for the first time. And it's really just so that we get the flexibility and features much faster than we would be able to do them ourselves. Plus, a lot of these things, if we were not using those tools, but we would have to write them from scratch, then That will be our implementation, and they will only work in Visual Studio, for instance. Yeah. What about CI servers? What about MS Build? Will it be able to run there as well? Probably not, right? That was one of the limitations with Web Essentials. All the tooling, you have to have Visual Studio to do it, to use those features. With those, like Grunt and Gulp and Bower and NPM and those tools, it works on a CI server, it works from MS Build, works in TFS, it works like anywhere you would you can build on a server, right?
So you know, and it also brings a very consistent experience because you know, there's multiple platforms that can be built on. And one of the announcements that came out of the Connect event was the ability for .NET 5 to be run on Linux and Mac. So those two, like, there's no version of Visual Studio that runs there, but you can still use the same tooling because you can pop in the command line, run these files directly from your developer experience that you have on there. But we provide some rich support within Visual Studio for these tooling.
So. Exactly. So the idea is that the tools follow the project in this case. So that means a lot of these tools you can version independently from project to project. So you get the right version, and you don't have to, just by upgrading a tool in one project, you don't update it in another project, which is really, really awesome. Yeah. And so this also makes it portable. So, you know, one team member sits in Sublime Text on a Mac, and another one sits in Windows in Visual Studio, and they use the exact same tools, work on the exact same code, and everything just works out. Yeah. Now, obviously, the person using Visual Studio is going to have a better experience.
Right? Yes.
As we're going to see, because what we've done with the tooling that we put on top of Node and Grunt and Gulp and NPM and Bower is to keep everything working from the command line. These are command line tools. But we abstract that away. So if you don't want to use the command line, Visual Studio now surfaces all these different things in a very nice way that makes you very much more productive than using the command line. And I guess we're going to take a look at that.
Yes, today. Let's take a look. That sounds awesome.
So here I have a new ASP.NET 5 project. And if we just quickly look at what we've got here, we've got a new node here called dependencies. And if we open that up, we can see that we have Bower and NPM in here. And if I open that up, we can see here are my Bower packages. So Bower, just to be clear, Bower is a package manager sort of like NuGet, but for client-side packages, like JavaScript frameworks or CSS frameworks and those sort of things. So here we have Bootstrap and jQuery. They're all listed under Bower. Mm-hmm. And we can, you know, expand them to see if there are any dependencies between them. And then we have NPM. And NPM in this case is where we bring in developer tools. So these are tools that are, even though they show up in the project here, they're not part of my app. They're not part of my logic. My running application do not necessarily depend on them, but they help us out as we develop.
Yeah.
Right? So here I bring in two tools. I bring in Grunt, which is our task runner, client-side task runner. So think about MS Build, but for the client side. MS Build is really good at building like code into DLLs and C Sharp, right?
You know, VB and all those server-side languages.
But Grunt is really good, or Gulp for that matter. Grunt and Gulp are like two competing things. They're both great. But here I choose Grunt, and it's going to help us do a lot of client-side building, such as compiling less files and minifying and bundling and all sorts of things, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what we have here. And again, we can expand and see all the different dependencies between the packages here. And Node, hang on, just to finish it up. Yep. NPM means Node Package Manager. So again, this is sort of like NuGet. We bring in tools, but the tools we bring in here are, they're tools. They're not actually something that's going to be part of our app.
Yep. Right?
So that's the difference between NPM and Bower. Right? You can mix and match if you want to, but that's sort of the rule of thumb. NPM, we're going to use that to bring in tooling. Bower, we're going to use to bring in application libraries such as JavaScript and CSS frameworks.
I really like the fact that we support showing the dependency graph, because it is nice to be able to go, okay, what does this depend on? Because I know every once in a while I like to go through my projects and clean out things, because sometimes you drop support for things and you don't really realize that you're just not using it anymore. Hmm. So it kind of lives on with your project and you're spending extra time and bandwidth moving across the server and for something that's not even used.
Yeah.
So this you can go through and you can look, okay, here's my dependencies. I thought this depended on this, but apparently it doesn't anymore. Mm. So let's get rid of it from our project, clean the code up, and then the next person that comes through and starts looking at those and says, why do we really have this? You know, now you have the ability to go, actually, we don't.
Yep.
Let's clean this up a little bit.
Exactly. Yeah. And they're virtual nodes here in Solution Explorer. They're not actual files on disk, as we can see here.
Yeah.
They are, right? They are, but we don't show them by default.
Yeah.
But they are on disk. We're going to take a look at that a little later. But anyway, the point here is they now show up. And the way that we control these two is very similar to NuGet. So you know how NuGet have packages.config? Mm-hmm. It's sort of a XML config file that lists what packages that you want. Now, there's a UI on top of that, or a command line tool that people use to install and uninstall packages. But at the end of the day, it's an XML file that lives in your project called packages.config.
But even that has changed recently, right? Because
yeah.
In 2013, it's definitely an XML file. But in 2015, in the new ASP5, everything's configured through the JSON
yeah.
file.
It's actually not a Visual Studio 2013 versus 2015. ASP.NET 5, yeah. And then anything below that.
Good
right?
call. Yeah. No, that's right.
So now we have Project JSON where you have the all your dependencies for NuGet where you list your packages. So in that sense, it's very similar. It's just a JSON file and it has other things in it, but that's basically what it is.
Excellent point.
And the cool thing is that all these things now look very much alike. So if we open our bower file, this is where we control our bower packages. We can see here that it opens up. We get a little icon down in the corner here, a little watermark if we go to the bottom here.
That's brilliant.
Right? So we can, because some of these JSON files, you know, they look very much alike.
I mean, at 3 o'clock in the morning when you, you know, haven't had coffee for a little bit because you really did want to go to bed, but you're still stuck on those issues, they really do look alike. So I'm a huge fan of that watermark.
It's just one of those things that, you know, it's going to save you at some point, right? As you're saying. So it's just nice. So that, you know, immediately we know that we're in a bower file. So now we can do that. And because we have this new JSON editor in Visual Studio 2013, update 2 was when it first came out. Mm-hmm. We've been hard at work building that and making it even better. But one of the things, and I think it's actually the only, Visual Studio is the only editor in the world that supports this, is JSON schema. So JSON schema is a way we can describe JSON files so that we can get full IntelliSense and validation. And it's sort of a standard out there. So we have support for that. And what it gives us is that when we want to edit our bower JSON file, you can see here we get
That's really
full IntelliSense for all this stuff right here, right? So that's just really, really nice.
Does and
we can even see like what is the, it gives us a nice description. What does all this mean? It takes an array or it's a Boolean or it's a string or whatever, you know, it shows us all that.
So if we click into license there, because licensing is one of those interesting things. Look at that, you even get full IntelliSense on different licenses.
Yes.
That's really nice.
This we built this during the MVP summit.
Oh, wow.
This list is actually coming from Web Essentials.
Cool.
Yes. So it's fully extendable, the JSON editor, which is nice, right? So we can say, yeah, this is Apache 2, but you know, that's fine.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that's
it's pretty
cool.
Good. Now, because this is bower, so now we want to install a client-side package, and that could be AngularJS, for instance. Mm-hmm. So to do that, instead of having like a big UI, such as we have for NuGet, or go to the command line, you can simply just go into this file under dependencies. Dependencies here mean, you see, just hover and gives you the description of what it is. It's basically my list of packages. Oh, and I can just start typing here. And I get full IntelliSense from Bower directly from the Bower register in the cloud, basically, on bower.io.
Nice.
And so, that's really nice. And I also get the version number. This is the latest version. I'm going to pick this one. And so now I've registered it. What happened over here, if we go to Solution Explorer and open Bower, we can see that we now have registered Angular, but I didn't actually install it yet. Mm-hmm. So what's going to happen is that in the final version of Visual Studio 2015, as soon as you save the Bower JSON file, it will install these things for you. But in the preview that's out already, we have a smart tag right here.
Yep.
All right, so we can open that, and we can just hit install package.
Oh, brilliant.
And so in the output window, you see hit that all, it's already done. Mm-hmm. It all done installing it. And we can see that updated over here in the Bower command here as well. The node. So that's really nice.
Dependencies is very, very much going to be like references. Like when I was going through the Connect show day 2, we went into the project JSON file, added some NuGet references there, and you see as soon as you save that in under the references, it says, you know, acquiring, and it starts downloading everything.
Yeah.
So you'll have the same experience for all the client-side things that's under the dependencies note.
The purpose is that we take the .NET specific stuff, like project JSON,
yep.
We take Bower JSON, and then the one for NPM called package JSON. They're all going to have the same experience. They're all, you know, save the file and everything is resolved and installed correctly for you. All those sort of things. So we're not talking about second class citizens here. They're literally first class citizens just as much as the ASP.NET specific stuff. Mm-hmm. All right. So if we open the project here in the Windows Explorer, we can see that we actually have two folders here. Bower components, that's where Bower installs their things into. Okay. And node underscore modules, which is where NPM installs their packages into. So this is some like the packages folder when you use NuGet. It's the same thing here, right?
Yep.
We don't show them by default in Solution Explorer. Instead, we gave you that Bower NPM dependencies graph instead. Mm-hmm. But we can now go in and we can look at Bower and we can see that we now have Angular.
Perfect.
It's now installed right here. So that's kind of nice. But as a new concept in ASP.NET 5 is this notion of a .dot.dot root. Mm-hmm. And so the idea here, and we can see it in our Solution Explorer, this is where we want to keep our static files. And so we can see here are my libraries. I don't have Angular here. Mm-hmm. Because Angular, even though I just installed it, I used Bower. And Bower just installs it into Bower components. And that's the end of it.
Yep.
Then now it's up to me to actually move it into my app. Mm-hmm. And so when you say file new project, in Visual Studio 2015, you're going to end up with what I have right here. This is actually the thing I'm showing you right here. So it comes with a grunt task. Mm-hmm. So let's take a look at grunt, because this is going to help us move that file from Bower components and into my .dot.dot root.
That's cool. And just to kind of recap there, MS build server-side building, grunt client-side building.
Correct.
Brilliant. So we're just going to run through a bunch of tasks, just like you would with a targets file.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
So what we're going to do is that we're going to look at grunt. And grunt is just a JavaScript file. I have some things commented out because I want to show you some things later. Yeah. But it just has a simple task here called Bower. So what we're doing is that we're actually using grunt to move the file using a grunt task. So we've installed a grunt task called grunt Bower. And let's just look at the Power JSON before we do that. Here you can see how that looks like. So this is my NPM file. I'm using NPM, the node package manager, mm-hmm. to bring in grunt and grunt Bower task. Grunt is sort of that's MS build. I'm literally installing MS build here, right?
Yeah.
And then I'm installing a task. And in this case, it's called grunt Bower task. And I'm configuring it right here. I'm saying that, hey, anytime you run this task, do the whole Bower install. And then put everything in .dot.dot root / lib. And that's the folder that we had over here, .dot.dot root lib.
Cool.
Right? So now I want to execute this task. Normally you would go to the command line and you would run grunt Bower. So run the grunt Bower task, right? Mm-hmm. But instead, we're going to use the new task runner explorer right here. So it will show me the task that I've got. I got the Bower task right here. Mm-hmm. And if we open it, we can see it has one called install. So that maps directly to my configuration right here. So I don't actually have to use the grunt file, the JavaScript file here at all. I can simply just come in to the Task Runner Explorer window and double click. And it will now run. It will do a Bower install. So if any packages weren't there, it will like do a package restore, basically.
Yep.
And then it would move my files. So now you can see Angular has now showed up.
Awesome.
In my .dot.dot root.
And the nice thing about that is it is literally just the AngularJS file. Whereas, I mean, when you go and use Bower, it had a whole bunch of different files. So you had the minified version, it had a gzipped version. It has tons of different versions of the file.
Yep.
But it gets you just the one that you need.
Exactly.
Really nice.
So it's super nice, super sleek. And actually, we do this when you just open an ASP.NET 5 project. This is being executed, right?
Nice.
So if you fork something off of GitHub, and you just open it in Visual Studio for the first time, all of this will just run. It will restore all your Bower packages, all your NPM packages, all your NuGet packages, and it will run this grunt task.
Cool.
Right? So that's really cool. So that means that we're always up to date. And
yeah, that's the most important thing. Works on my machine. Well, of course it does, because we just went and reinstalled everything for you.
We basically eliminated the whole it works on my machine, right? Because the tooling now travels with the project.
Yeah.
Like, we define the tooling in the project. You don't check in the tooling. You don't check in the packages folder, right?
No.
For NuGet. And you don't check in node modules or Bower components. I mean, you can if you want to, but there really is no reason to.
Yeah. This is funny, because I have this debate at conferences all the time,
yeah.
Where it's like, check in your dependencies. I really do think that, you know, you don't want to check in your dependencies. However, there is one kind of tidbit of information that I'll say, is if you do have a really crazy heavy production application, do make sure that you back up your dependencies on a regular basis. So it doesn't need to move along in the source code repository, but have an in-house backup. So if you do rely on these things on build, if the third-party service that you're trying to get it from is down at that particular time, you have a backup on your own machine so you can still push out the dependencies that you need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are definitely cases where it might be a good idea. But
yeah, for development purposes,
probably won't be
it
that
doesn't
many.
Make sense to check them in
no.
Because it's great. You know, we have all these files describing it for us. That's brilliant.
Yep.
But the operations people are like, we need to make sure this is up and running.
Yep.
So it is still a good idea to have a backup system.
I might just want to note say here that the... You don't have to have anything installed. You don't have to install Node, NPM, Grunt, Git, any of these things, Bower. Visual Studio installs them for you.
Oh, awesome.
Right. So when you have Visual Studio 2015, you also have all these tools. Now, if you want to use the command line for all these tools, you have to install them yourself. But anything you do within Visual Studio, you can just it'll just work with Grunt. So all the stuff I'm showing you here does not require that you install any of these things manually, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's important to know.
Cool.
Yeah. Okay, so that's really cool. So now we have sort of Bower. We can install a package super easily. Just modify the Bower JSON. You get full IntelliSense to find the packages, right? It's actually a search. So you can just search for it, and it will search the repository in the IntelliSense, which is kind of cool.
Mm.
So that's a pretty good experience. And in this case, just did Bower. But let's do some more, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because so we did Bower install, and we executed a grunt task here to move the Bower component, the AngularJS file, into our project. So I sometimes want to do a lot more. I want to do minification and compiling my LESS files and all these sort of things.
Yep.
So let's take a look at that, because that was one of the things that WebEssentials did and had done for a long time. And so people are using this in WebEssentials today.
Mm-hmm.
And since the next version of WebEssentials does not have this capability, I thought I'm going to show how you can do that in Grunt. And just you can see how much cooler the experience really is.
Cool.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do for everyone out there is, because this is going to be almost like how to move from Web Essentials to, it's almost a tutorial in a way.
Yeah, I guess.
I'm going to actually put a time slot so you can come back to this video, and in the show notes, we'll have a link directly to this area. So if you do get stuck at some point and you need a refresher, we'll get you right back to this time slot.
That puts a lot of pressure on me. All right.
Let's do your magic, sir. Do your magic.
Let's take a look. So let's just hide this guy. So I've cheated, of course, and prepared a little LESS configuration. No, sorry. First things first. Let's install the LESS compiler.
Yes.
Okay. So the LESS compiler, what we want to do is that we want to use a grunt task to compile our LESS. If it's a grunt task, then we can hook everything up with grunt, and grunt will just run it, and it's going to be beautiful. Okay. So let's do that. And most of the grunt test that you would want all start with grunt-contrib.
Mm-hmm.
And grunt-contrib is the grunt team itself on their repos on GitHub that they maintain all these different tasks. So they are usually of a very high quality with like thousands and thousands or hundreds of thousands of users worldwide. So they're very stable and fast and really good. So now I'm in my package.json because this is a grunt task. So I'm using NPM, not Bower, but NPM. This is tooling. And let me just zoom in here. We get the same experience here. Grunt contrib less. I'm going to do less compilation. We're going to take this version right here.
Cool.
And so when we do that, we don't have the feature yet in preview where you just save the file and it automatically installs my NPM package.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to use this smart tag that we have right here to say install package.
And that smart tag is still accessible with control space, correct?
A control dot.
So yes, you're right. Control dot. Man, it's been a little bit since I've been
these. These will go away.
Yeah.
these smart tags will go away. They will be light bulbs.
Oh, so cool.
You've probably seen light bulbs in C# and Roslyn.
Yep.
Right, when you edit C# in Visual Studio 2015. So we're going to move these into being light bulbs as well. So that's coming. Okay, so output here says, yeah, we're now done. We've now installed grunt contrib less. Let's just see if that's right. We see it shows up right here in under my dependencies. So in my grunt file, I'll simply just load it like this, one line.
Magical.
Magical. And then I'm going to configure it. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's what this little piece of code does. It's a, for my development environment, this is just a name. I could name this anything. I choose to call it dev. It's just an alias, it's just a name.
Yep.
Here are the files that I want you to compile. And so I have a folder here called less where I have two less files in. Mm-hmm. I have variables, which doesn't do much. It just holds a value in a variable.
Yep.
And then I have side less, which imports my variable less file here at the top.
Yep.
And then it consumes that variable. Okay? So what I'm saying is that this specific file called site.less, only that one, I don't want it to compile my variables less, mm-hmm. because compiling site less, because I have that import, will also resolve that dependency to my variables.less file. And so they will all compile into the right thing. But I only want output from my site.less file.
Yes. Well, that's the thing is like, it's a build process. So just like you have references off to, you know, system dot whatever, it doesn't actually go and compile that into it. It just pushes everything in line.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
So here I'm saying, here's the output. I want this to write to www.css site.css. And here I can specify one or more files. This is an array, right? Mm-hmm. One or more less files that should be compiled into that one site.css file. And then I say source map equals true, or source map is set to true. So I want a source map. So when I'm in my development environment, I want to debug something in the Chrome DevTools or the F12 tools in IE or whatever, I get the source mapping capabilities of those browser tools.
So it knows what file to take you back to when you...
Exactly.
Yep.
So I'm just going to save this. We're going to come back here and refresh. By the way, this will be automatic as well. There's no refreshing. You don't have to do that.
And that's when you save it. So it's like installs here, refreshes task runner, and cool.
But I had to manually refresh it. So let's just take a look. We can now see that we have a less task here that has a single target called dev. Mm-hmm. Now I can just click that single target and it will just execute that. Or I can click less, the parent, and it will execute all targets under it. Since I only have one, it doesn't matter. It's the same thing that happens.
Cool.
So let's, I think I already have a CSS file here and I've played around with this before. So let's keep that open so that we get that notification if something changed, right? And let's execute our less task. And we can see, do you want to reload the file? Yes. And you can see here we now get everything correct.
Yep.
We get it's all compiled. And at the bottom, we have the source mapping here. It's a base64 encoding. That means it doesn't have to put down a .map file, right? Mm-hmm. It's all base64 encoded in the file itself. So we don't create other artifacts.
Yep.
But that's a setting. So that I can totally configure that in my grunt file under my options. Mm-hmm. I can set the source map file name, and then it will create a file.
But I mean, well, maybe for development, another artifact, not a big deal. But when you're actually going and pushing stuff out to production, the last thing you want to do, well, you probably wouldn't want to do the source map for production,
mm-hmm.
but the last thing you want to do is add more files. Like there's a reason why we merge JavaScript files and merge CSS files and do all this compilation is to reduce bandwidth.
Yeah.
So adding an extra file is not going to be the best thing for us.
So speaking of that, let's do a production version of this task.
Cool.
Because when I'm in production, what I want for my less files is then, of course, being compiled to CSS. But I don't want the source map, and I want it to be minified, like remove all white space, that sort of thing, right? So what we can do here is simply just copy the dev task, and let's call this one prod for production.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to compile the same file, but instead of source map is false by default, so just by removing it, we no longer have source map.
Yep.
But I want to use clean CSS. Set that to true.
Cool.
Okay. So task runner explorer, refresh. We now have the prod target down here. If I hit that, I'm going to see it still runs. You want to reload the CSS file? Yes. And we can now see we get one minified file without source maps.
Brilliant.
So that's really cool. It was so simple. Right? It's so easy. And if we go online to the individual tasks, so here I'm looking at npmjs.com. This is the equivalent of nuget.org, right?
Yep.
But for npm, for the node package manager. I can find my grunt contrib less thing, and I can read all the documentation and see here's all the different things we can set. Here's that clean CSS attribute we were setting in the options before. And this is way more flexible and powerful than was possible in Web Essentials, right? I can really go into very specific scenarios and special case certain things, and there was no way that Web Essentials would ever be able to do that because it was literally just right-click a button and say compile less.
Yeah.
And that was the end of it almost, right? So this is way more flexible, and you can have different settings for different files in your same project, right? So it's really cool.
Cool.
But the workflow you want, and the workflow that Web Essentials had was when you saved a less file, it would compile into CSS and show it in the browser. Mm-hmm. So we can do the same with Grunt.
Okay.
And we're going to do that with something called Grunt Watch. Okay?
Yep.
So Grunt Watch is basically a file system watcher that we can configure to look for certain things and then fire some of these tasks, these grunt tasks. So let's take a look at how that works. First of all, we're going to install it. Grunt contrib watch.
So one quick question before we move on from this file. I noticed that you're using an awful lot of things with carrots. What's the difference between just putting the version name and putting the caret?
Let's take a look.
Oh, yes. Brilliant IntelliSense.
So if you don't have a caret, you have nothing. It's that exact version number. If we do the caret, or the hat character, as some people call it, it matches the most recent version. So this is what's called semver, or semantic version. Mm-hmm. So this says whenever I do a package restore, and I have, like here I have version 0.6.1, then it will upgrade to anything as long as the major version is the same. So it'll go up to 0.999. Hmm. But then it won't go to 1.0, right? Using the tilde says, hey, it has to be the recent minor version.
Yeah.
So that lets us control the dependencies, so we're always up to date, but to a certain degree, and we can sort of very easily manage that from our package file.
Yeah, and unless someone's actually breaking changes in, you know, in min versions, which they shouldn't be doing.
Yes.
We should be good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly. So that was watch, and control dot brings up the smart tag and say install. And as always, we can look in the output window, and now it's done. It's pretty quick. So back to the grunt file. We now want to load our new task, the watch task, because that's all it is. It's just a task. And then we're going to configure it. And I've been cheating, right? So I have it right here. So I'm creating a target called less, right? I can have one for less, I can have one for JavaScript if I want to minify JavaScript or whatever, right? But here I just have less, so I've created one for less, and here's what happens. It's going to watch, and by watch it means literally file system watching, right? Any file called .less in the less folder. So my less folder was this one right here.
Yep.
Right? Anytime any less file changes, run the less colon def task. So remember my less task and my target is def. And you write that by less colon def or task colon target.
Yep.
Okay. So now we have that set up. Gonna save that. Let's go to task runner and update. And we now see that we have watch right here. And I have a less task. So I'm gonna start this and it's just running. It's always running. Okay? It never dies, it just keeps running. And so if I go into my less file and save this, change this to let's say 25 and hit save, we can see it already actually ran,
cool.
Right, and updated my CSS file here. So that's good, it ran my dev, so it was not the minified version.
Yep.
Let me just pin this back up here so we can see what's going on. But the cool thing is it also takes care of my dependencies, so if I want to go to variables.less and change that to, let's say, 100. I just save this file. Let's do it here so we can see. Save. You can see it just kicked off. It's already done.
Cool.
Super fast, right? And so now we can see that we have 100 pixels right there, as we should have. So this is really cool, right? So keep in mind that all I've done here, I've done without using the command line. Right? Well, it's all within VS.
You're using the command line, but you're not using the command line.
Exactly.
I know.
And that's actually important, because what Visual Studio does is that it just acts as a proxy between you as a developer and the command line tools, because at the end of the day, Visual Studio calls the exact same command line tools that you would yourself if you were to use the command line instead of the Visual Studio features.
Yeah.
It's the same underlying Node XE and all those things, right? So all that is the same. So that makes it really cool. So this is an add-on to the existing experience around Grunt and Bower and all this.
Yeah. Okay. So one quick question, because you mentioned if you go and you download Visual Studio 2015, you don't need to go and install Node or anything along those lines. How do all those dependencies stay up to date?
Yes. So what we're doing is that we are very literally adding Node XE and Grunt CLI and Bower and Git into the Visual Studio install directory, you know, C:, program files, Visual Studio, so on. And we know about those locations, right? So we, what's called prepath the calls into the command line tools with the locations of where we keep those tools in the Visual Studio install directory. Mm-hmm. Now, in the final version of Visual Studio 2015, you can change that. So you can add other paths. So what we're doing is that we're saying, look first in the Visual Studio install directories. Actually, what we're doing is look first in the local node modules mm-hmm. in your project. Then look in the Visual Studio install directory. And then look in the global path. Now, you can just change all that. You can remove any reference to the Visual Studio versions of these tools, mm-hmm. or just put path, global path, higher on the list. That means that it will take precedence. Yep. Because if you have Node XE installed and you have Grunt CLI and you have a better version or newer version, you can just use those tools. Visual Studio will just work in the exact same way. There's no hard dependencies to any specific version.
Yep.
So it's really cool.
That is really cool, because if you do depend on, you know, say company-wide, you've said, we want this version of Node, that will stay in the path, and you move that up the list, you don't have to worry about it, or if the Visual Studio one stays the same. And then if you do have a higher, like a higher version requirement, installing your own and moving to that path will save, you know, everything else.
Exactly.
But will we actually go and update those versions
yes.
as part of the Visual Studio
yes.
update call?
We will. So we don't have any, we will do it on a case-by-case basis. Mm-hmm. Let's say that Bower rolls out some new features that we really want, or some fixes that are important to our users, you guys out there, and you know, Visual Studio developers. Mm-hmm. We will take it through. It takes a long time for us. We have to kind of do what we call pedigree scans and make sure that it all that there's no bad language in it, and you know, all sorts of stuff.
Yep.
And so so that's why we don't just do it blindly every time there's a new update. We probably wait a little bit. So, but I'm sure that in each of the Visual Studio updates coming out, at least one of them will have an update every time.
Cool.
But again, if you install them yourself, you're always up to the version number that you want.
Awesome. Right.
So that's the beauty of it. You're in control. Right. So one last thing I want to show.
Great.
It's really cool that you can do all this less compilation and minification, all that directly here with using the Task Runner Explorer. But one thing that we've added, and if I zoom in here, is the ability to associate Grunt Task with Visual Studio events.
Ooh.
So I can take my watch task here, and I can bind it to Project Open. Do that like that. So if we look at bindings, we can see that under Project Open, I now have my watch task. So what it means is that when this project opens in Visual Studio, watch task is automatically executed and starts running. Right. So for the Web Essentials users out there, you know that you don't have to think about starting Web Essentials, right?
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you save a less file, it compiles. This is the same thing.
That's really cool.
This is the same thing.
And then how does that get associated with the project so Visual Studio knows about it?
Because it writes it in the Grunt file itself. So it does that when you close the solution. That's why I don't have it right here. But it will add, right now it's sort of an XML, like what we call a /// reference.
Mm-hmm.
We use that in JavaScript. It's XML. It's probably going to be a JSON object instead, but it's going to be a comment. and Visual Studio reads from that. So that means the only artifact that's kind of left over from the Visual Studio binding mm-hmm. is a code comment in Grunt file or Gulp file.js.
Yeah.
I just want to stress this. The support we have for Grunt is the same as for Gulp,
yeah.
right? They're equally important. There's not like we have a Grunt is first class citizen and then Gulp is like lagging behind or citizen, second class citizen. They're both first class citizens, right? So they work the same way. In this regard, so we're going to have that comment, and that's where it's going to be stored. And you know, if you're not using Visual Studio, nothing will happen because it's just a comment. But if you use Visual Studio, it just lights up.
Yeah, and because it's a comment, as soon as you this is a Grunt file, so there's no real if it was in a CSS file or JavaScript file or something like that, as soon as you run it through a compilation minification, it'll get dragged out anyway.
This is Grunt file.js is a tooling file.
Yeah.
It's not one you ship with your project. Right?
Exactly. Well, that's what I was saying. Yeah. Is like not that you'd actually be shipping it, but if it was something, because it is a comment, it just gets stripped out anyways.
And people have asked, why don't we store it in the project file, the CS proj or the new K proj in ASP5? And it's simply just because we can't. No, that's not right. We can, but you don't always have a Grunt file in your project. Sometimes you have it on a solution level. Then where do we write it? What project should we then store it in?
Yeah.
What about the solution file? Well, you don't always have a solution. Projects don't need a solution. So the only place we can actually store it where it will always work mm-hmm. is in the Grunt file itself.
Yeah, I think that's perfect because it's one of those things where it's almost single responsibility, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Everything that is encapsulated in this file has to do with this file.
Exactly.
So that's brilliant.
And again, we can create our own tasks. So let's say I want to create a task here. I've already registered a task manually called default. And as we see that down here, but I registered it here. So let's do one that's called production, for instance. And I wanted to run my less task. I want to run less prod, mm-hmm. right, for instance. So that means I can now hit this right here, and it will now, and you see here, it updated my CSS file. Now it runs in production mode. Mm-hmm. So it's minified and everything. So that's really nice. And I can this is an array. So I can say, hey, do this, and then also do my bower install, for instance, and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
I can chain them. And so what's really cool about this is that I can go in here, right click, and say, bind this to after build. So now, when I build my project, it just runs right here.
Perfect.
Right? So I my muscle memory is intact. I want that when I build something, Control Shift B, it builds my assemblies and all that.
Yep.
It should also run my build tasks in Grunt. And I can configure that completely. So it becomes completely second nature to do this. The tooling just follows what it is that you want.
Yep.
And it's minimal setup here, right? And you do it once.
And basically, if there was a brand new update, you just got the latest update when
exactly.
you built, which is perfect.
I want to show just one last thing. I have this project called Schemastore, schemastore.org.
Yep.
And what I do there is I have a lot of these JSON schemas. And that's where the Bower IntelliSense that we saw from when we edited Bower.json, that IntelliSense came from this website. And I just opened it and notice what happened. My Grunt task, my watch task started.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So now it's watching everything that I do. And what I use it for is very specific. I'm using it for, here's that Bower, the JSON schema for Bower.json files, right? If I save this file, my watch task runs and it checks that all my unit tests are correct. So I have tests. This is completely based on JSON because that's how JSON schema works.
Mm-hmm.
But I've actually been able to write in my Grunt file a task very specifically targeted my specific problem here with Schemastore and how to validate my JSON test files against their schemas.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So my Grunt file here is very custom. It's just JavaScript. I register a task here where I access the file system. I do all sorts of things. I write a file out that's used in a project and all sorts of things. And I get that flexibility. Now, I could do this mm-hmm. in MS Build. I wouldn't know how to, though, right? To me, MS Build is very difficult. Also,
you
I'm using...
You have to give Syed a call and say, hey, buddy, can you come over for a few hours?
Syed could totally do this, yes. Except for I'm using a node module for doing the for checking, for validating JSON files against their schemas. I'm not sure there is one for .NET. So the cool thing here is, hey, if it was out there for .NET but not on Node, I would just use MS Build, right? Yeah. Or something like that. If it's not, I can just use Node. I have the freedom now. There's no longer this gap where I'm like stuck in the like on one stack, like the Microsoft stack, for instance, yeah. and can't like step over into other stacks. Now they just flow freely, and I can take advantage of everything on each side, and that makes me really happy.
Yeah. That is really cool.
Yeah.
So I also noticed that you have HTTP here. Does that mean as soon as you open up your project as well, you've potentially bound a web server, so you could automatically go and
no.
No? Okay.
What this does is that
it,
this does is when I run this HTTP task, it's a grunt task.
Okay.
It downloads files into my project.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's all it does. But look how cool that is. For each file, I just have this. All of that, and it unbuilt, it will download files and put in my project.
Is that
how simple is that?
Composer.json for like PHP applications?
Correct.
Look at that.
Hey, schemastore.org have like for PHP, it has for everything.
That's
for
awesome.
Chrome extensions. Any place you have a Java a JSON file that's sort of generic in nature, you'll find the schema for it here, which will give you IntelliSense.
Yeah. We should have you on the show sometime to come run us through all your little side projects that you have going on, because it seems like you have a lot of really interesting things that people need to know about.
Oh yeah. Yep, we can do that.
Cool.
So just final word maybe. If you haven't looked at Grunt or Gulp yet, and you're using Web Essentials, please go ahead and try it. It took me a couple of days to kind of figure out exactly how everything worked, but it's totally worth it. Like the flexibility, the speed, the power, is, and the way that I can configure everything is beyond anything that Web Essentials can or ever will be able to. And so if you haven't upgraded to Visual Studio 2015 yet, because it's just in preview, right? But you're on 2013, you can get most of these tools. You can get the Task Runner Explorer. It's actually an extension that's free for download for Visual Studio 2013.
And we'll get a link to that at the bottom of the show notes.
We have the Package IntelliSense, which is also a free extension, which will give you the IntelliSense for Bower packages and NPM packages.
Cool.
Right? So that's in there too. So go out and get those. You just need Visual Studio Update, Visual Studio 2013 Update 3, and then you can party on the same thing I have here, except the stuff we have in Solution Explorer with the dependencies.
Yep. Right?
And it works in web forms, WAP, anywhere, right? Any web project,
cool.
Which in 2013 means websites and WAP, web application project, right?
Yep.
So give it a go.
Excellent. Thanks so much. This is incredible. So I hope everyone out there is really excited. And like you said, definitely go and take a look at Bower, Gulp,
yes.
Grunt, and there's so many more too. Mm-hmm. But
I promise it's not as scary as it could look like.
Well, and it, I mean, to be honest, it doesn't even look all that scary. For the most part, you're just describing things in JSON, which we do every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show, Mads. Really appreciate it. This is just absolutely amazing work that you and the team have been working on. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
And
thanks
to all you out there as well. And hopefully we'll see you here next time here on WebCamps TV.